Hi everyone, this is John Norman. Welcome to Wade in the Water and happy Reformation Sunday.
We have a new guest speaker. Yay, my equipment worked this week. Introduce yourself, Miss Linda.
I'm Linda Raybon. My husband James and I have been married nearly 57 years, about getting mixed up. I worked as an RN in the ICU at Rex Hospital for nearly 40 years. I joined the First Baptist Church in 2001. We have two children, three grandchildren, and one great-grandchild. I belong to the Dorothy Parker Sunday School class, who meets in the New Century room, and I also belong to the Agape Circle.
Our Sunday School class meets on Sunday morning. We try to be there about 5 or 10 minutes before 10. Sometimes we don't always make it, but we have to have enough time to get through the lesson. Any and all are welcome to come join us. And our circle meets the first Tuesday of the month. Right now we're meeting in the Dorothy Parker Sunday School classroom. Before that we did meet in the various homes, but I'm not sure that we'll ever be able to do that again with this pandemic that we're continuing to go through. But we certainly would welcome any and all who would like to join us. We have mission projects we do. We have lessons that we study. And then we always have something to eat. You know, that's one of the things about us Baptists, we like to eat.
Hey everyone, welcome to this week's episode of Wade in the Water.
I'm glad to be joining you again for this week's Sunday School podcast, as we begin a new unit of lessons on Lord of the Harvest. On behalf of the podcast crew, we hope you enjoy today's episode. It's harvest time in Four Oaks. All around our area, farmers have been hard at work gathering their produce before the cold weather sets in. The fields really are whitened to harvest, as cotton, sweet potatoes, and many other crops are ready to be brought into the storehouse. It is an exciting and beautiful time to be in Johnston County. But these crops didn't just appear overnight. There was a several-step process of planting and cultivating that had to happen before the harvest could begin. And there was the slow march of maturation the crops had to go through. Just the right amount of rain and sunlight led to their development. And before that, the land lay untouched through the winter months before any preparation of soil began. Through it all, there was a slow, rhythmic dance between planter and planted, set to the tune of the music of nature. It really is an amazing thing. But the scriptures remind us that this symphony is not happenstance. It is conducted by God. And there is no better place to be reminded of this than in the book of Psalms, which are rhythmic in nature themselves, as they are songs, poetry set to music, sung by the Israelites in worship.
Psalm 104, verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent, and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants.
Psalm 104 seems to combine all of these themes together into one beautiful depiction of God as Creator. At first, it seems to simply be a recounting of the creation account in Genesis 1 through 2. But on further reading, it is a testimony to the handiwork of God throughout nature and a song of praise for God's sustaining care.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Now, at the end of the 6 days after God has made all creation, God looked at all that he had made and saw that it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. What is that feeling? The feeling that something is very good. I felt it when I look at a beautiful landscape.
Do you know that feeling you get when you visit the ocean for the first time in a while? That feeling that you get as you stand on the shore and you look out across all that water? How small you feel? It's amazing when you think that water covers 3/4 of the earth. I mean, folks, that's a lot of water. But day after day, that water level stays the same. The tide comes in and the tide goes out, but the water stays in this same few feet of shore. Or think about that feeling you get when you visit the mountains for the first time in a while. The feeling you get when you look over the edge of one of those mountains and you're left in awe at just the sheer magnitude of yet another one of God's creations. If you know that feeling, then I think you're tracking pretty well with Psalm 104.
I do it every time I walk out on a beach and for the beauty I've seen in Montana, Wyoming, Niagara Falls, and Hawaii.
I've felt it when I've spoken to a particularly kind and wonderful person.
When I first came to First Baptist Church, Miss Frieda Creech, it seemed like just came right to me. And those of you who never had the chance to meet her and know her, you certainly miss a good person. She kind of took me under her wing and made me feel at home because we were new people to this area. And she always had some little project that she just knew I could help her with. And I tried my best to help her with all her little projects. Excuse my emotions, but I can't talk about Miss Frieda enough. The good things she did for me as well as our church.
And I definitely feel it when I listen to beautiful music.
Our young people are the hope for the church. Without young people in the church taking part, there is no hope for the church to survive. We have a good group of young people. The musicians that we have, it's just awesome in my mind. And if you haven't heard them, you should come. They're not there every Sunday, indeed, they're played. But the Sundays they are there, that church should be full.
Everyone sees that very goodness of something God has made at some point or another, hopefully often.
Our lesson this week is all about creation. In these first 4 verses, the author is just praising the Lord and acknowledging all the Lord's wondrous power. In verse 2, he simply says, "Lord, you are very great." As we read on, you'll see that the author is praising God for creation. The author of Psalm 104 seems to have that feeling. But he seems to have that feeling not just about the big things, but also the small things in life. He gets that feeling when he looks at all the small, quiet ways that God provides for us each and every day. And like this author, we should take time and put away all of our distractions and just look at all the incredible wonders that we can find in creation. Did you know that whales and dolphins sleep with half their brain? While half their brain is sleeping, the other half is swimming. And then when the swimming side gets tired, it wakes up the sleeping side and says, "Hey, it's your turn to man the ship, and I'm going to sleep a while." I was also listening to a man talk about sentry birds. And these birds also have the ability to sleep with half their brain. They talked about how these birds would line up side by side like on a power line. And all the birds in the middle would sleep with both sides of their brain, while the 2 birds on each end would sleep with only half their brain. The part of their brain on the outside would remain awake to be on the lookout for predators. And so those 2 outside birds would use the outside parts of their brain to keep all the birds safe. Now, I know somebody just rolled their eyes, and I know exactly what you're thinking. How did they get in them little birds' heads to figure all this out? And my answer is, I don't know. But regardless, there's just so many amazing things in creation that we will live our whole life and never know about.
For us, God has worked out every detail, and it's easy to take it for granted. Just think, the sun shines, the rains come, the stars twinkle, the winds blow, the crops grow, the fish swim. And then on top of all that, the earth spins at just the right speed, at just the right distance from the sun. And there's more. The air we breathe and the water we drink are right there for us to sustain us and to keep us alive. We receive these miracles on a daily basis and usually take them for granted.
I have always been interested in nature. Being raised in a rural farming community, I learned early on the rhythms of nature. My grandparents farmed by the sign, an embedded code in the cycle of stars and planets and moon. In walking the woods that surrounded our home, I learned the behavioral patterns of animals associated with certain times of the year. And later in life, I came to love traversing trails by horseback or on foot with a backpack. But no matter the stage of my life or the ways I have immersed myself in the out of doors, I was always taught to take care of creation. In one way, it was a selfish lesson. Take care of creation, and creation will take care of you. But in another way, creation care was a direct response to the Creator who had provided it all in the first place. A type of stewardship in which we humans have been entrusted with something that is important to God, the creation. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, we might say God was the first environmentalist, and God has given us, through the first couple, Adam and Eve, the task of being God's ambassadors, God's representatives, in taking care of that which God has created.
Verse 10 through 15. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkey quenches their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens humans' hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their heart. So in this section, the author talks about the many ways that God provides. He provides water for the animals, grass for the cattle, rain for us humans, so we'll have crops, and we can have wine and oil and food. I think verse 15 is pretty interesting. It says the crops provide bread that sustains their hearts. It says it sustains their hearts, not their stomachs. It sounds like it's talking about more than just nourishment for our bodies. Scripture says it satisfies our hearts to know that God is there and that He continues to provide. It is reassuring. It sustains our hearts. The scripture says all creatures rely on God for food. All creatures. So if you go out into the middle of a swamp, you might find some animals that have never had any kind of contact with a human being. Still, God provides for them. God provides for them every meal that they have their entire life because He cares about them. And they continue to be out there generation after generation bringing glory to God. And we never know anything about it. They are being looked after and taken care of every day by God, just as He looks after and takes care of us.
When we as Christians take time to be still, we can reflect on the beauty and vastness of God's creation. We can't help but want to praise Him. But the sad part for me is knowing that some people view creation as a commodity to be used for their own purpose, especially those who hunger for power, money, or prestige.
We live in a time of such abundance. It's just so easy to take some of these provisions for granted. Every day we eat our food, we drink our water, we live our lives, and we truly just take for granted all the things that God has provided for us. Matthew 6, verse 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." Verse 28 says, "See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." So God loves and cares for all creation.
I believe every human, plant, and animal is a unique testimony to God's creative power. There are so many blessings God provides for us through His creation.
We're quickly coming up on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I hope we all can take the time to really just ponder this and think about all God provides. I mean, by all means, we should thank God for Carly C's, but we should remember that He did not make that bread.
Our circle does a mission project once a month when we get to meet. We haven't met too many times in the last year or so, but we do have a project that we contribute to or that we spearhead. The main project that I participate in is the food pantry. I cannot wrap my mind around people not having enough food to eat, not in the land that we live in, when there's food everywhere. But all people don't have the money to buy food. And I think that the food pantry is one of the very good missions that we can all participate in. It takes very little effort. One or two cans once a week, once a month, whatever you feel like you could contribute to the project would be most welcomed by the leaders that take care of the food pantry.
Verses 19 through 24. He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. In verses 19 through 24, the author seems to talk about the order and the rhythm of creation. The author says he made the moons to mark the seasons. I think we all love the seasons changing. I'm excited now. I love this school weather. I love the holidays. I like long sleeve shirts and football. But it's also just really reassuring that God is still in control. And he has provided this order to remind us of that. Verse 20 through verse 23 says, the lions come out at night and they seek their food. And in the morning they return to their dens. And then it says that in the mornings people go out and work, and they work until it gets dark. Well, I can tell you, I'm sure glad that God thought of that. It's like he has us and the lions working on a different schedule, so that we will avoid each other as much as possible. I mean, it's truly amazing that God seems to have thought of everything, even though we only recognize small parts of it.
And that rhythm he provides regarding the sun, moon, and all the seasons is just another example of his majesty. We really need to pay attention because there's a divine plan we often take for granted. Just imagine what life would be like if the rhythm was not there. What if the sun never set, or if there was no such thing as nighttime? Or what if we lived in darkness all the time? The rhythm of night and day enables us to live comfortably and abundantly. Then we can also wonder what life would be like if there was no seasons. Some people are prejudiced to hot weather or cold weather. Not me. I love all seasons and welcome each change. God worked in a balance there that was really appreciated.
Verses 27 through 33. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. In these verses, the author seems to just be thanking God for being such a great giver and also for being such a great sustainer. Verse 27 says, all creatures look to you to provide them food at the proper time. And verse 28 says, all we have to do is gather it up. He provides what we need. We just have to use a little bit of wisdom and make a little bit of effort to gather it up. The Lord places the apple in the tree. We just got to go get it. The apple's not just going to jump in our mouth. You have to search for it, and you have to gather it. In many ways, the Word of God is like this. The Word of God is everywhere. You find it on the internet. You find it on the TV. You find it at the church. You find the Word of God in the Bible. I've even found it at the grocery store. The Word of God. Schools. I heard there were some people in Four Oaks, they were even putting the Word of God on a podcast. The Word of God is everywhere. We just have to be wise. We have to search it out and then gather it up.
Most people know I'm a fan of seashells. God knows I appreciate my shell collection. But some might not know I'm a plant lover, too. People at work call me the plant lady or the plant doctor. There's something about watching plants grow that keeps me grounded. There's no pun intended there. There's one plant I have named Lily after my grandma Lillian, who died in 1988. When she died, her daughter, my aunt, got this plant, an Easter cactus. Then when my aunt died, the plant went unattended for a very long time. So after a cousin mentioned the plant to me one day, I asked about the plant, and my uncle found it in his cold garage. It looked dead, but I took it home. After about 2 or 3 months of watering, fertilizing, and giving it a little TLC, I saw the first sign of life coming back from the dead stump. I was ecstatic that God had pulled off another miracle. I was a helper in this process, but God renews the earth in many ways, and for that I am thankful. This plant revival is just a small speck in the scheme of things, but we should all learn to never take God or His miracles for granted.
In verse 31, the author says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever." He says, "May the Lord rejoice in His works." The author is saying that creation is just so amazing and it's so remarkable that the Lord should be rejoicing in His own work. It's truly that incredible. So here's my challenge to you. The next time you're outside or you're taking a walk, find a small flower and set a dime next to it, and then take a picture of the dime and the flower. When you get some time, pull up that picture and then take a good long look at that flower. And then just think about the fact that God knows about that flower and that that flower has a purpose. Now, what is its purpose? I don't know, maybe to feed a beetle, or, you know, maybe its purpose is here for a honeybee. Maybe its purpose is simply just for us to enjoy. Maybe its purpose is just to remind us of God's presence and again sustain our heart. Or who knows, maybe God put it here to have its picture taken with a dime and then be talked about on a podcast. But just remember that God cares about and He cares for this flower, just like that big ocean that we talked about. Just like He cares about those creatures in the swamp that we never see, and the storks and the whales. And let's not forget about the 300,000 different species of beetles. God knows about and cares about every one of them.
So caring for the environment is a hot issue these days, but honestly, it feels like everything is a hot issue. But I have never met a Christian, either in Four Oaks or Chapel Hill or any other place that I've been, who doesn't believe that God's original work was very good and that we have a duty towards it in some form or other. This is actually one of the few issues that doubt and dissension cannot invade because of that very good feeling we all get when we look at or speak to or hear something natural and beautiful.
Has man lost touch with nature as God originally designed it? I do believe that could be true. Just as the lesson writer described his days at home during COVID, I would assume there were many who had to change their routine. I often heard people say that they spent more time with family. They ate more meals together, went on walks, and did things they never had time for under normal circumstances. And just maybe some suddenly noticed the beauty of nature on their walks. God works in mysterious ways, and if the world had to pause for a while, maybe that was a good thing. God often makes a miracle out of a mess. Who knows, maybe an overworked father just happened to be home when his child took their first step, or someone finally had time to read a book that changed their life, or maybe people took time to smell the roses for the first time in a long time. I think we all need to be reminded that there is a rhythm to God's creation, and the psalmist encourages us to pay attention and be grateful for it.
The scriptures tell us what the perfect world would be like if only we could live in a perfect world. However, we do not. But we do have hope that one day it will be more perfect.
I'm over time, but I have a couple of things I'll share that you can do on your own. The first thing is read all of Psalm 104, because we kind of bounced around and just read parts of it. But read all of Psalm 104 and then flip to the beginning of your Bible and just read through creation. You'll find that this psalm is patterned around the creation story in Genesis. In many cases, it uses the very same verbiage. It really kind of lets you see the psalm in a new light. And the other thing is read Job. Read verses 38 through 42. In the story, Job is trying to find an answer to why he has undergone all this suffering. And finally, he begins to question on how God is running the world. And so God responds by showing Job what it takes to run the world. God kind of takes Job on this virtual tour of all these things that it takes to run the world. And these things that Job knows nothing about, because Job's only seen the world from his own small life and from his own small experience. But verses 38 through 42 just really complement the things that we've read today in Psalm 104. I think you'll find it to be well worth the 15 minutes it takes you to read it.
It amazes me as the psalmist brings this song to a close in verse 33. We find a reminder that we not only care for the creation and give thanks for the creation, God's gift to us, we also must sing praise to God. For God is the creator and sustainer and redeemer of all creation. The recounting of the beauty around us turns to remembering that all around us is a gift from God, and that God is the creator of it all. How wonderful is the handiwork of God, and how worthy is God of our worship. I'm also reminded of another rhythmic verse, this time written by farmer and poet Wendell Berry. In one of his Sabbath poems, he writes, "The leaves, opening and at last falling, hold a while the beauty of God who made them by the work and care of nature, his vicar and our mother. His only is the light of which all things are made, the beauty that they are, the delight that is our prayer." As the psalmist sang, "I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have being." Amen.